California's first citizen, the former president of Screen Actors Guild, of which, contrary to public opinion, I am a member. A man who made the arduous journey from Death Valley to Sacramento by 20 mule teams. He went into the convention at Kansas City with almost half the votes and came out with 100% of our respective love for his dignity, class, and grace under pressure. Two-term governor of California and a great American, the Honorable Ronald Reagan, right here.
Speaker last July, before the unsolved problems of human misery. We have known each other for their 40-year record of failure in dealing with those problems. They denounced inflation and unemployment as if someone else were to blame. Our platform contains an end to their hypocrisy. It says, the platform above all, it is deficit spending by federal government which erodes the purchasing power of the dollar. Then it goes on to explain that the number one destroyer of jobs is inflation, and the number one cause of inflation is government's expansion of the money supply and credit created out of thin air to pay for debt suspended. Inflation is the direct responsibility of years of Democrat control of spendthrift Congress. That they couldn't have curbed the spending, ended inflation, and in so doing reduced unemployment, if they wanted to, or if they knew how. But this would have gone counter to their doctrinaire liberalism. When Jimmy Carter pleaded publicly on television for all to see about the inequities and loopholes of the tax structure, I wish you could answer one question. Which Republican Congress created the legislation that created that tax structure?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Reagan, right here. Johnny has done exceptionally well. Somebody said he had a very tough time with politics because he doesn't know how to lie, exaggerate, or double-cross anybody. He's always had an agent for that. I didn't say that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege now to present the man who has brought distinction, wisdom, and humanity to the highest office in the nation. In 2 years, he's worked hard and courageously to bring peace and a better life to all our people. Athlete, statesman, and world traveler, the man who put this country back on the track. This man is our guarantee of progress in our future, a man who believes in free enterprise and opportunity for every American. Here he is, escorting Betty Ford. Ladies and gentlemen, the incumbent and future President of the United States, the Honorable Gerald R. Ford.
Thank you very, very much, Bob. Governor Reagan, Mrs. Reagan, Holmes Tuttle, Margaret Fox, Cardinal Manning, Rabbi Magnin, distinguished guests at 22 dinners across the land, ladies and gentlemen. It's been 7 weeks since Kansas City. We've got the issues, we've got the momentum, and we've got less than 4 weeks to win a great victory for the American people, and we will.
Despite the blockade of a Congress stacked 2-1 against me,
We heard before the convention that our party was sick and dying. Now we hear the voters are overcome with apathy and don't really care who wins this great election. I don't believe that. I don't believe the American people believe that. There will be a big election, and we're going to win. The American people do have a clear choice. They do care. Our job is to get them to the polls November 2nd to register the right choice for this country for the next 4 years. Make no mistake, this election is about the direction that America will take in its third century of independence. Mr. Carter can be deficient on details, but the general direction of his philosophy is very plain. It is unstable, it is unreliable, it won't work because it hasn't worked. Mr. Carter wants higher federal taxes for middle-income taxpayers. I want lower taxes for everybody, especially the overburdened man in the middle. Mr. Carter wants less defense. He wants it on the cheap. I want the strongest and best military capability that science and money can provide and will keep it under the Ford administration. Mr. Carter wants to reduce our commitments to our allies. I must maintain America's leadership for peace and for freedom around the world, and we will during the next 4 years. There are serious differences, real choices to be made. Mr. Carter and his party's platform chart one course for this country. No matter how he sings and sings, there's no doubt where he wants to go. The direction Mr. Carter would take us is the same one that brought us double-digit inflation, a tax load that kills initiative and slows expansion, a slowdown in research and development, and oppressive interference by a know-it-all federal government. I want a new direction, a direction with more freedom and more liberty for 215 million Americans. Government growth by half. Congress added $18 billion more. Despite the extravagance of a majority in the Congress, I will submit a balanced budget by 1978. I have cut 11,000 jobs from federal bureaucracy. Next year, with better Congress, I will make our government more responsive and more responsible to you, the taxpayers. My 59 vetoes saved the American taxpayers over $9 billion. Mr. Carter constantly criticizes. If his party's Congress had not overridden 12 of my vetoes, I would have saved all of you $16 billion more. The middle-income taxpayer that would save his hard-pressed family $200, and that's what we've got to do in the months and years ahead. When I say I stand for smaller government, my performance proves it. Mr. Carter says he is for reforming and reorganizing bureaucracy, but his performance tells a far different story. Ask your friends. What do you think you'll get from a liberal president and another 2-to-1 liberal Congress? One guarantee, you certainly will get more spending and bigger deficits. And you can depend on that. certainly won't get lower federal taxes. You won't get less federal government. So the choice before our country is clear. You know where I stand. As dedicated Americans, we are not motivated by the love of governmental power, but by the concern and the fear of it. I'm talking about those who work hard, pay their taxes, obey the laws, and want to enjoy their God-given liberty. We're committed to a policy of peace through strength in a world where freedom is still threatened by aggressors who would destroy our freedom. The United States of America must remain and will remain number one. Republicans alone cannot win this election. The principles we hold are just as dear to millions of our friends and neighbors who prefer to be Democrats and independents. Between now and November 2nd, I ask every Republican to persuade just one independent and one Democrat, two concerned citizens who feel as we do about the new direction that this country must take, to go to the polls and vote their true convictions. If you do this, person to person, friend to friend, we can win, and we will win a great victory for the American people. We must go forward together. There is no way we can lose except by resting before the last poll closes. Together, not as partisans, but as proud Americans, let's get America off to a good start on our third century of freedom and liberty. Thank you.